And I felt there were two bits to that, about be ready and be real. And I was going to try and cover both of them today, but we are going to try and make our talks a little bit shorter. So I thought I'll save the second one till next time. So we're thinking about being ready today. And now is the time. So some of you know that I work at church here part of the time, and it's really great to be able to do that. I love working with all the people here, different groups. And part of my work is also to get involved with different prayer groups, especially in the region, and recently it's been in Hull as well. And I've had quite a few exciting meetings in the last few weeks. And this is a phrase that has come up time and time again. Now is the time. And it seems like people are moving into new things, and just God is doing something amongst them. I was in one meeting this week, and one of the people there were just three or four women there, and one of them is about to start a bus ministry, taking a bus around the outer states in Hull. So it's really exciting to see that come into place. One of them there was going to start a new prayer community in Hull, actually get hold of a house, and they're just about to do that. And the other is going headlong into all the preparations for the City of Culture next year, and praying for all the things that are going to happen there. So something new going on there. A couple of weeks ago, I was in another similar meeting where somebody was describing how they're being launched into speaking across the nation. Another of the women there was involved with quite a large new church plant in Hull, and another getting involved in counselling. All new things that they're just coming about, or have come about in the last month or so, or about to start. So really have the sense of God working, and now is the time. So it makes me feel excited and want to be part of what he's doing, and I don't want to miss out. And I wonder what that phrase means for me and for us. Now is the time. Now, when you hear that now is the time, you've got to make a response, really, don't you? If you're sitting in one of these meetings and now people are saying now is the time, you've got to think, well, yeah, you might think, oh, I've heard that before, and you could be cynical, but you really don't want to miss out, do you? And for me, it did fit in with where I'm at. A few months ago, you might remember I described God giving me a vision of a lion roaring. And as he roared, his word, this is the Jesus, the lion, his word was coming forth in sort of like sound waves or whatever you want, however you want to imagine it. And it was his word, his purpose, his creativity being breathed and spoken out. And I described how people had to meet that, had to encounter that, and either embrace it for themselves, and I mentioned how people were trying to hide, but ultimately they needed to get hold of it, get behind of it, and run with what God was doing, saying, take hold of it. And I think that's something of what's happening now. He's been getting us ready, and we need to, in many ways, get on board with what he's doing. So a question is, are we ready? Oh, thank you. I didn't think about that. So, a couple of useful images. Well, God's given me these images to go with to help. And the first one is about running a race. It is in the Bible, lots about running a race. And this is one that God gave me. I don't know if there were quite a few of you here when Angie Lendon came to do a singing conference. And during that conference, she played a bit of music and got us to really listen to what God was showing us. And the thing he showed me was a sprinter on starting blocks. And as the piece progressed, the sprinter took off and absolutely flew down the track. And so one picture I want us to get hold of is being poised and ready to burst into action. That's a good place to be, isn't it? For an athlete, they undergo years of training. They have lots of little goals to try and meet along the way. And they generate a real desire to win and to be the best and excel. I've got two cousins. They're called Martin and Kate, and they were at the last Olympic, husband and wife, actually. But they were at the last Olympics, and Kate's a pole vaulter, and Martin's a 400-metre runner. And if you watch their lives beforehand, they were sort of set apart. They didn't have a normal life. It was all about training, a lot of cost in their lives. They couldn't do any of the normal things that people would do. Lots of discipline, lots of being careful what they eat and what put into their body, and really, really focused. Kate came seventh in the last Olympics, and Martin got a few medals, and he's going to Rio this time. So I've been able to watch them and see how they do this thing. But when they get onto the starting blocks, when it's time to go, there's lots of anticipation, isn't there? It's what they have been working towards. They're ready to give their all. As you're on the starting blocks, your senses are tuned in, aren't they, to hear that gun and really go for it and to focus. And when the gun goes, they're just going to run for all they're worth, or jump for all they're worth and hold nothing back. So that's an image for us. And I know not all can run here. In fact, most of us probably wouldn't even think about running a race, and we don't have that possibility at all, some of us. But we all have things that God has put in us, and he's put them there to run with. He's been getting us ready. And perhaps for some of us, now is the time. Now is the time for you and me to maybe start speaking, to different people, evangelizing, whatever it is, to move into healing people, to be an encourager, to lead others, to serve in different ways. There's lots of ways we can serve. Or maybe to pray. Maybe that's the thing we've got to do and we can do. And for others, maybe we just got to give our lives to him, to fully surrender. So on a day-to-day basis, are we ready to spring into action at any moment? That's for all of us. And maybe for some long-term course of action, we need to set along a longer-term track. But maybe for some of you, you've already gone off the starting blocks, and it's just a matter of keeping flying along, keeping focused and keeping going. A second image that God gave me, maybe for the less sporty, maybe you'll connect with this, is that of having wind in our sails. The Holy Spirit is like the wind, described as the wind. And I really like the image of us having the wind in our sails. We sing a song, don't we? Jesus, be the centre, be my source, be my light, be my hope, be my song. And then it says, be the fire in my heart, be the wind in these sails, be the reason that I live. So I really feel like God's given me this image recently about having the Holy Spirit. And I like to think of being either in a boat or being a boat and putting your sails up. And I've got into the habit of just asking myself, have I got my sails up? And I really like the image of the mast. If you can see, quite a lot of the masts are in the shape of a cross. So it's a double thing for me. So think about the cross. I think of the verse of being crucified. Oh, I've lost it now. I'm crucified with Christ. I no longer live. Christ lives in me. So it's that position of just being dead to self and And then with the sails full of, and just being poised or positioned for the Holy Spirit to take you where he wants you to go. You're positioning yourself for him to empower you, to guide you, to move you on. And it's a position of availability and surrender. I went down to the Essex coast last weekend, and it was just beautiful to watch lots of sailing boats in the different estuaries, and them just gliding along. It's lovely, and it's I've done a bit of sailing, and it just made me want to do it again. It's graceful, and it's just effortless. It seems effortless, and I remembered in a conference I went to, somebody had a word for me once, and the word was, "You're really rowing like mad to get from A to B, to get along. Stop rowing and just put your sails up." And I wonder how many of us sometimes feel like we're rowing along and we should just stop and let the Holy Spirit pick us up. If you don't have your sails off, you won't go far if the wind is blowing, if Jesus is moving in different ways. And Jesus is looking for those who have their hearts turned towards him. In other words, have your sails up. And coupled with that, we've got the idea of being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a command in Ephesians. And then there's a description of the early Christians in Acts. And the words say, be being filled. It suggests a continual thing. Continual thing, and we can ask and receive God to fill us up continually. Now, just a question, are you one of those people who, do you fill your car up regularly so it's always full of petrol, or are you like me that I'm too stingy to pay £40 to fill my car up, and I always put about £5 in and then often run out of petrol? Who's with me? Anybody? So last time I did it, I broke down at the roundabout along the road, and it was right on the roundabout. And what was more embarrassing was that somebody did come to rescue me, but it was an off-duty policeman who gave me a ticking off, really. He was very nice. He helped me get some petrol, but I thought I'd better not do that again. And there's a story in Matthew about the 10 virgins. I'm just going to read that. It's quite short. It says, "At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, 'Here's the bridegroom, come out and meet him.' Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out.' 'No,' they replied, 'there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some yourselves.' But while they were on the way to buy oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. 'Lord, Lord,' they said, 'open the door for us.' But he replied, 'Truly, I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you don't know the day or the hour.' So the virgins with the oil were rewarded, and those without missed out." I think this story is about constant readiness in relation both to Jesus now and as we look to him as he comes again. And there is the possibility of missing out on what he's doing. So it's about constantly looking to him to fill us, keep us full of faith and acting on what he says to do. Then, as we're running, there's something about having a goal or a prize or a destination. We don't run aimlessly. We run with purpose because there is a prize. And for us, Jesus is our reward. If you think about athletes, they're single-minded. They're focused, responsive. They've got these goals and they're undistracted. So maybe that's what we need to be, single-minded, living for Jesus, listening to his voice, get rid of any distractions. And the thought of doing our best, are we really doing our best? Are we passionate and determined? And other things, we can ask the question, what's keeping us from running well? At the last race that Martin was in, he was poised on the line and there was a noise in the crowd and he got distracted and got a false start. And these days you just get disqualified straight away. So he missed out. So what's distracting us? And what are our motives like? Are we really full on going for our prize of Jesus and for his glory as well? Or are we a bit lukewarm? Now, it helps to have goals, doesn't it? And has anybody got one of these? Fitbit. Some of you are probably a bit sick of me going on about my Fitbit, but I've had this a few months, and what it does is it measures how many steps I take. And I used it for a few months and was doing 12,000 steps a day, doing great, and losing lots of weight as well. And just having that goal of getting 12,000 steps a day was really helpful. And then I lost it for a couple of months and my weight loss plateau didn't go up really. And I didn't feel as fit either. So it was good to have that goal, and it is. And incidentally, just having that discipline of doing that made me go out walking. And every time I went out walking, I prayer walked, either talked to God or actually actively prayed for the places where I was walking. So there's somehow a sort of link between just the physical discipline and what was going on for me as well. So it's been great to have a goal. And so our goal is Jesus. He's the most perfect person. He's the most perfect person to have a relationship with. We can know him, and he's the best thing we can hope for. But how much is our longing for him? How much is he our goal in our lives? That's a question to ask. And then God does give us goals. In Scripture, we are meant to share Jesus. We're meant to see his kingdom come, to pray and to act. We're meant to feed the poor, all these different things. How much are these God-given goals in our life? If he's our goal, everything starts and finishes with him. Missed one out. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, it says in Hebrews. And then a few things that might help us run the race. It's good to have perspective and vision, isn't it? To stand back from time to time. And maybe come higher in worship. Margaret's word today was about coming higher, and he was going to make a way. So sometimes when we're in that place of worship and coming closer and higher with him, we can see where we're meant to be going and what we're meant to be doing. And maybe also times of rest can do that for us as well. Then there's a verse that says, isn't there, that set your mind on things above. If you're an athlete, you tend to be in an athletic community, and all you talk about is running races and training and all that sort of thing and what you're eating. And for us, we can be the same as that. We can set our mind on heavenly things rather than earthly things. And we can focus on the unseen and not the seen. We all have circumstances that we have to deal with. But we can commit them to prayer and take our eyes off what's immediately around us and fix them on Jesus and on heavenly things. Then, are there things that we need to let go of? It's useless trying to run a race with lots of baggage attached, with weights, the weight of sin it talks about there, and weights that we've built up because of things happening in our lives. Things are heavy, weigh heavy on us, don't they? So are there things that we need to get rid of now and today to be able to move forward? Things like disappointment with what's happened to our lives. Unforgiveness is a big one, and bitterness that comes from that. Sense of duty, self-pity, fear, all these things are the things we need to ditch in order to speed forward. We also need to make sure we stay on our track. We had a slide with different lanes, and we need to recognise everybody's on a different track. So keeping our eyes on Jesus and our own track is a good thing to do. And it's also good to receive what we need. God has been preparing us. He has been training us. All our experiences are part of that training up to now. He's invested loads in us, hasn't he? He's given us loads and built us up and given us skills and strength and changed our attitudes. And he will give us all we need to complete the plans and purposes he has for us. If we're lacking, or if we feel lacking, or understand that we're lacking in things, we can ask, we can get help off other people. And listen to only him and not the lies of the enemy. I just found a couple of verses from the Passion Translation of the Bible, which I thought were quite good. One from Ephesians 2. It says, "We have become his poetry, a recreated people that will fulfil the destiny he's given each of us. For we are joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. Even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfil it." And then Hebrews says, "May he work perfection into every part of you, giving you all that you need to fulfil your destiny. And may he express through you all that is excellent and pleasing to him through your life union with Jesus the Anointed One, who is to receive all the glory forever. Amen." And just finally, there have been three things that I've been praying lots this year, and they've come from prophetic words that people have given. And one is that this is a time of acceleration. So I've been praying that for us and for me, that God would accelerate us into all that he has for us. That's in response to a word. Pray for his abundance and pray for advance. And I do feel that it's a time where we're going to be propelled forward into things. So I wonder if you're like me, and I tend to think about things and ponder them for ages and ages and don't do anything. So is it a time to actually get moving and stop cogitating and go for it? And perhaps we have a tendency of being a spectator rather than a participator. Does that need to change? And are we ready to move and change and do the new things that God has got for us, and to just be resolved to overcome? So that is my challenge today and my thought today. Now is the time. Are you ready? So let's pray to close. Father God, I just thank you for what you are doing around us, and thank you for what you're going to do in us and through us. And I pray that you would help each one of us to see what you are doing and what you want to do in us and with us. I pray that you would really get us ready. We thank you for everything that you've done so far. And Lord, just give us that motivation to go with you, to pursue you. Give us wholeheartedness. I pray for a real fire within us to burn. Give us a passion for you and for all that you want to do. Lord, give us everything we need and help us to actually move when we need to. Amen.
Thank you, Jill. That's a great word. Well, let's see.